Take your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5. And tonight we're going to study maybe something that I think we're probably comfortable with studying, but maybe others may not be. And that is divine healing. We surely today believe in divine healing, amen. But we do not believe in divine healers. Amen. And so tonight we're going to look at this passage. It's a good passage. We've exercised this passage before in our church, and we've seen God work. And so we're not afraid nor ashamed to proclaim what the Bible says. In my Sunday school class today, I was talking about studying the Bible. And the Bible is consistent all the way through. You never have to worry if God's Word holds up. Is this not on, Brother Joe? Oh, it is? Okay. I thought maybe it went dead. Okay. All right. So, here's the verse, chapter 5 and verse number 14. Now, in verse 13, he said, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." So, if you got trouble, pray. "Is any merry? Let him sing." So, remember last week, silence is a sin. If you're sick, pray. If you're afflicted, pray. And if you're happy, sing. So those are your two options. Then, verse 14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, I titled the message Divine Healing because that's what it is. It has nothing to do with my power or your power or with the oil or anything else. It has to do with God. And we want to keep our mind on Him. Now, there has probably been more abuse and misuse of the word healing and divine healing and the procedures of healing in our generation of time for the last 50 years, 75 years, than there probably has been any other. In fact, one of the most deceptive things is the way how the devil will use healing in the end days to draw people's attention unto him and the Antichrist and set up his kingdom. In fact, the false prophet will call fire out of heaven and other miracles, and has to be a miracle of healing, because the wounded beast that's dead is raised up, is healed, and that is a majestic, mighty thing. I don't know, in your mind, or maybe it is in your mind, there is probably not more attention given by the spectators to any other thing in the Gospels than there is to healing, when people are healed. I put this in my notes. Nothing gets your attention like sickness. Amen? And nothing gets the attention of people than the need for healing. And we still have that today. Our country is filled with hospitals, with people trying to be healed. When we get sick, we want to be healed. And would there be a person who could come and lay hands on you and heal you, he would do it. But because there isn't, they don't. And so we want to, first of all, just identify that there are no faith healers. There are none. Those that have been, since I've been saved, have come and gone. And those that are today will come and go. There are no faith healers. First of all, they don't do it according to Scripture. And second of all, I've seen them on the TV pop somebody right in the head. I mean, hit them hard as they can. And no wonder they fall down. Amen. But I don't see the Scripture being followed. And so tonight we're going to do our best. So let's get right into it. The condition of this person, he's sick. Is any among you sick? Now, the Bible does not tell us why he's sick. But the implication from the other verses is that he's committed sin. So this isn't your typical cold or your typical flu season type of a fever. This is something out of the ordinary that has come upon you. Not all the time is it because of sin, but because the implication here is thy sins are forgiven, maybe indicate that it was because of sin. Sometimes sickness comes. Now, there's three reasons for sickness generally in the Bible. All right, here they are. One is a sickness because of God's judgment upon your life. You have committed sin and God is going to chasten you, and sickness is a result of that chastening. Second thing is for God's glory. Remember, Jesus and the apostles went and they saw this fellow that had been blind from his birth, and they said, who did sin, this man or his parents? Now that was a real intelligent observation by them. Amen. And God said, neither nor. None of them had. But that God's glory may be seen. And then there is a sickness unto death. Amen. I like the guy that put on his epitaph. I told you I was sick. Amen. That will be it for us all one day. Amen. And so this is the condition. I'm not sure why, but we know this, that this sickness is in such a magnitude that it draws this man's attention that this is not ordinary sickness. Ordinary sickness. The call is here. Is any among you sick? All right, that's the condition. Let him call for the elders of the church. I was doing some reading, and Lehman Strauss said, there's never been a misuse of the pastoral a position than this verse right here. It has come to be a common thing for the church to expect the pastor to call upon those that are sick instead of the sick calling upon the pastor when they're sick. Yeah, see, we don't like that. The pastor ought to come and visit us when we're sick. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I think there's a fine line when people are sick what you visit. I really do. Not everybody needs visited just because if you got a flu, keep it to yourself. I'm not visiting you. Amen? And you know, sometimes when you're in the hospital, not everybody responds the same way to a visit in the hospital. Some people like it, some people don't. When I'm in the hospital, leave me alone. Amen? I just want to get over it and get out. And it is not a time for fellowship in the hospital. Now, if it's something minor, we understand that. But I'm talking when you are in that place where there's a need. So call for the elders. There's a call given. There's a man who sees this need. This sickness is not the ordinary sickness. And he may call to mind something that he has offended God in, that he needs intercession by somebody besides himself. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I can't reach God, but I need to get some people that can reach God. Or possibly he's sick and unaware of why he's sick, and nothing is availing on his part. I must call for those to help me to pray. And so the call is given. Now, I guess I could just go ahead and say this. I believe most of our prayer requests for on Wednesday nights, or most of our prayer requests, maybe even on our bulletin, really has very little to do with spiritual things. And I think maybe even the church in general has got its attention on the physical more than the spiritual. Now, I'm not against praying for those that have physical needs and difficulties that they're going through, but that is not the primary purpose of praying. You check it out right here. That is not the primary purpose of praying. And I believe the devil has craftily, very subtly got our attention off of what is most important, and that's the souls of men and women, boys and girls, and off of the spiritual condition of those backslid in heart, onto those things that whether they get better or whether they get worse is really irrelevant if they die and go to hell, or if they die under the judgment of God. And so I think the devil's been very sly at that. I think we need to guard ourselves against that. Amen? Girls, you want me to start over? Okay. Way to go, Kendi. Kerrigan said no. Backslider in heart, amen. Just kidding. I found Kerrigan the other day trying to break into the church. About 10 o'clock at night, I was down here at the Mission Center. Me and Sam came down here and got something. I saw some kids walking around the church, and it's not likely kids walking around the church. And I know what kids doing when they're walking around the church and they can't get in one door. Told Sam, I said, "You got your gun?" I realized who it was as I got towards the church. They were around back, and I took off real fast around back after them. It didn't scare them, but it's fun. Glad y'all can make it tonight. The call is, "Hey, I'm sick. There's something wrong beyond the natural means." Now we know that doctors are good and medicine is good, but this is not one of those cases. This is not one of those cases. I said this is not one of those cases that he's talking about here. All right? The third thought is the conduct of those coming. And he said, "Now call for these elders and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." Now what we find here is some interesting things. The first thing there to do is to pray over this man. It's interesting that he said, "Let them pray." All right? He said, "Let them pray over him." Over him. So we assume that this man is laying here. All right? We assume he's laying on the couch or the bed or someplace there. He's laying here and they are over him. Now, I don't know how many elders they're supposed to call. Doesn't say how many. Just elders. So if they call the church and say, "Listen, something has happened to me and I cannot intercede to God on my behalf. I need help. I need some people to help me to pray, to intercede for me." And so they call. I don't know if it's 1, 2, 10, or 2, 10, 12. I don't know how many it is. I just know that there's some men here gathered over this man praying about him. Praying about him. Praying about his condition that he is in. The sickness and the sin, if that be the case. Then they do something. They anoint him. Now I have some oil here that we use. It's just pure olive oil. And that's probably the case that they would have used. There was no divine healing in the oil, just as there's no divine salvation in the water and no divine salvation in the Lord's Supper. There is no divine healing in this oil. This is just oil. Some cook with it. Some do other things with it. But it is just oil. But the commandment of God is to pray over him. And in the midst of this praying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to anoint this man with this oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I don't know how much oil they're to use. I guarantee you this, if I was sick, I'd say pour the whole bottle. I want to get enough. Amen? I say I'd want to get enough. Now, I know there's no healing. I'm just saying I want to follow the Bible and I want to get enough of it. I want to get enough of it. And the Bible says they anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. It's very important that we understand that. They are anointing him as though Jesus himself was doing this procedure here. Though he was doing this act. Jesus himself, in the name of the Lord, in Christ's stead, I am anointing you just as though Jesus would be anointing you. In the name of the Lord. So this isn't to be done very lightly and carelessly. Be done very, very carefully. And with much attention given to what is before us here. And so the first thing is to pray. And then to put upon him this oil. And the Bible says, "And the prayer of faith shall save him." Now, if you're going to have the prayer of faith, you have to have men, according to Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, who are full of the Holy Ghost and faith. I'd hate to be sick and call for somebody and they said, "Well, you know, our faith just ain't much." Be thinking, wouldn't want him to do much praying, amen? I'm just not sure this is going to work. Yeah, I think I'll take somebody else. Amen? I mean, whenever you call, these are to be men of faith. Because the prayer of faith is going to move the God who operates on the faith of His people to answer the prayer. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that's what we're doing here whenever we anoint somebody with the oil. We're praying for God to raise them up. So there has to be this prayer of faith. Now listen, if you're called upon to pray, all right, over somebody, then please, if you are not right with God, speak up and say such. I remember several years ago, I was sitting there in my office, and up to the door, we had a Christian school at the time, there over there in the other building, and at that time, up to the door came these group of people, and I don't know, there were probably 10 or 12 of them, and they came into the door, and of course, I had no idea who they were, and I went around and out around the desk and I said, may I help you? And they said, yeah. Are you the pastor? And I said, well, I sure am. And they said, well, we are such and such a group from out west. Seemed like it might have been Utah or Nevada or somewhere. And we are traveling out here praying for healing of our land. And we'd like to pray for you. I said, I think I'll pass. Yeah, I passed. And they said, well, Pastor, you know, God wants to heal. When they get into that mode, yeah, I kind of got an idea of what they are. And I said, well, I appreciate you stopping by, but, you know, I don't know anybody that's sick. Well, I didn't. I wasn't lying to them. I don't know anybody that's sick. And about that time, Hannah come walking in. And so they jibber-jabbered there a little bit to me. And there's mostly women, I think maybe two guys and about eight or nine women, which is typically the case in most of these, you know, ordeals that go on. And so they were kind, and I was trying to be nice. Amen. I was not trying to be calling them a bunch of heathen liars and deceivers, but I was trying to be kind, and I didn't believe they had any power to do anything. Amen. And so, to make a short story long, they got ready to leave, and so I walked them to the door, and I turned around and walked them back to my desk, and Hannah's kind of sitting there where that window used to be, and the next thing I hear out of my ears is this goofnut woman praying over Hannah. And by the time I got turned around, you know, things register. And I'm thinking, who's praying? And about the time I turned around, she ended praying. She said, I just felt the Lord wanted me to pray over her. Well, I didn't appreciate that. So as she was walking to the door, I said, Lord, now I don't know what that woman said, and I don't believe she had any business. And if she brought any kind of judgment or curse or that funky business that they call religion, she's right out there. She heard me. I said, I pray in Christ's name right now, you'll destroy the works of the devil that's been prayed here. Amen. Kick her out the door. See, I don't believe in that junk. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I say I don't believe in that. And so there's those people around. Divine healing comes when men of faith gather around and pray over a person, anointing them with the oil. Say, what's the significance of the oil? It's obedience to God. This oil represents the Holy Spirit's. divine working in their life that has been hindered. All right? So we see this healing. Now the Bible says the disciples in Mark chapter 6 verse 13, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Even the apostles, whenever they were sent out by Jesus, took oil with them and anointed them in the process of the healing process. All right. Now the conclusion is found there in verse number 15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now that's not talking about salvation. All right? It's not talking about salvation. It is not talking about salvation. It is talking about delivering this one. That word saved means delivered or heal that one from whatever sickness that he is going through. That's the whole purpose of the meeting. In case we missed it, amen. That's the meeting. We're praying this guy is sick, probably because of sin. He is on the point of either getting worse and dying or staying in this condition, and he's seeking the help of God's men to pray over him, and they are praying, and the prayer of faith has saved this man's life, his physical life, from this sickness. He's saved. Not salvation, but saved. Now notice what the Bible says. The second thing is the prayer of faith, or the first thing is the prayer of faith saves the sick. The second thing happens is, the conclusion of this is the Lord raises him up. Isn't it interesting what God identifies here? The Lord raises him up. Not the man, not the oil. Hey, might I even say this? Nothing raises this man up but the Lord. Yeah. These faith healers, listen, what always went along with healing in the Bible in Jesus' day was also raising the dead. And you never see these faith healers raising any dead. Yeah, never do. Even the Old Testament healers raised the dead. Elijah and Elisha. Healed somebody, raised the dead. Yeah. So today, I just want to direct your attention. It is the Lord that raised him up. The prayer of faith, obedience of the man to call for the elders, the obedience of the men of faith and the Holy Ghost, anointing him, praying over him, and God listened and delivered him and raised him up. Healed him. He's healed. Well, I'll tell you what, if you were sick, you'd be shouting around today. Yeah, he's healed. Yeah. Hey, could I tell you this? I don't know that I wrote this here in my notes. I probably should have. I'm not talking about, see, there is no healing this oil before a person dies. That's not biblical. This is called extreme unction. It's not biblical. Don't anoint a man before he dies. But praise the Lord, you don't. And notice the third thing, the result of this prayer of faith saves the sick, the Lord raises him up, and the third thing is, if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The sins that are connected with this man's sickness are forgiven. Well, that's a blessing. I mean, you know, if you got a sin problem and you've got a sickness problem, be good to get rid of the sin that causes the sickness. And the prayer of faith delivered the man from the sickness and forgave him of his sin. Hallelujah. Can't get any better than that. Now here's the catch. There's a lot of folks today wanting healing without forsaking sin. But that's not the biblical way. Jesus said, go and sin no more. We're going to read that here in a minute. So tonight we need to understand is that healing is not a get out of jail free card that lets you get healed so you can go back to sinning. But it is to help you walk carefully, circumspectly is the Bible word, with the Lord so that you do not get back into a worse mess than you were before. Because if you have been healed and you continue in this sin, then the Bible indicates that a worse thing will come upon you. Well, notice the confession in verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. Now, and you'll be healed. Now, I don't necessarily know that those two are connected together. But Lehman Strauss said they are, so I'm going to take his word for it, and I'm going to give you one more thought. In order to get healed, if they're connected, which I seem to think that they're just a little bit different in context, but I like the thought that he had. If they're together, then the man that is laying there, once the elders get there, they do some inquiring. Why are you in such a mess? What's he do? Confesses. Yeah, he has to confess. I think maybe another Bible word that would apply here is the word repent. I'm sure sorry I'm in this heap of a mess. But I'm in this mess and I can't get out without your help. Maybe that's why God says, keep your mind there. Confess your faults one to another. Keep your mind there and let me read a verse to you. Maybe just be this. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, commentary Galatians 1:6-1, ye which are spiritual, full of faith, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. Maybe that's where it's at. I mean, maybe them are the thought I had in my Sunday school class is that there's the Bible, there's no scripture of private interpretation. That means no scripture stands by itself, but a scripture is built upon other scriptures. There's one. Yeah. Yeah, there's one. Just an example of it. You see what I'm saying here tonight? Here's a man over, confess your faults. If any man be overtaken in a fault, I'll tell you what, God doesn't say judge the man. God said bury one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ. And then, I should have read that other part there. If any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. God said, you better take heed, because you could have been in the heap of the mess that he's in. It's just by the grace of God you're not. So when we come, this fellow has to do some confessing if the verses are linked together. Confess your faults one to another. Brother, this is what I did, and here's why I'm in the mess that I'm in. That's what happened. Well, go over to John chapter 5. And we'll read a verse, a couple verses there, and then we'll go to Mark, and then we'll be done. John chapter 5 and verse number 1. John chapter 5, verse number 1. This is a story of the great physician. In my side of the chapter there, the title, Christ the Great Physician. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, and waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into a pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, I had when I was doing Bible classes, I had a guy out in Indiana. One of the things that he said, he's an old guy, studied the Bible. He said this probably really wasn't an angel, but just some mysterious movie. No, it was an angel of the Lord. Amen. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, he was sick. Amen. 38 years. And when he, now listen, he didn't have this since he'd been born. He's had it for 38 years since he's been born. So if he was 20 when he got the infirmity because of loose living, maybe he's about 50, 60 years of age. So this ain't no young man. All right? Okay. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, will thou be made whole? The impotent man said, or answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Boy, don't you know that'd be discouraging. You see, man, you got your eyes on the pool, and and there's an old blind man, he hears the rustle and he just dives in right before you get there. Come on. Now you know that it happened. You know? You know it'd be somebody tripping somebody and all right, y'all don't have no imagination, but I can see it in my mind, amen. Pushing and shoving and trying to get to the pool first. Jesus said, saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And Jews therefore said to him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed, you heathen. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. I figure if he made me whole, I better do what he said too. Amen. And they asked him, what man is this which said to thee, take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed wist not that it was for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and the multitude being in that place. And afterward Jesus find him in the temple, saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Next three words, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. So apparently this man was in this condition because of sin. And God said, go and sin no more. All right, now Mark chapter number 2 is maybe one of the best illustrations, commentaries, illustrations of this passage in James chapter 5. Mark chapter 2 verse 1. We'll read down through verse 12. You'll know the story. It's about the four men who brought their friend to Jesus. And again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they had let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, isn't it interesting? When Jesus saw their faith, I think it was, did I read this right? The prayer of faith. This is the prayer of faith right here. Jesus saw their faith. All right? He saith unto the sick of the palsy, sons, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Amen to that. Only God can forgive sins, and they're about to experience the power of God. Amen. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned, so reasoned within themselves, he saith, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. There's two illustrations of that passage of Scripture that I just read. Illustrations, Bible illustrations of it. The prayer of faith saved the sick. So what did they do? Our faith is, if we can get our friend to Jesus, that's what prayer is. If I can get to hold of Jesus, then all things will be well. Remember the fella Jairus, and he said, I got to go get Jesus. This is a Jesus problem. Yeah, this is bigger than me. My little girl's at the point of death and's going to die. In fact, I know she's dead if I don't get Jesus. Yeah, the woman had the issue of blood 12 years. I'm going to die if I don't get to Jesus. Jesus is a great healer. Now, in our modern day, ladies and gentlemen, there's a procedure for being healed. Now, I'm not talking about the foolishness that we hear out in this world. Well, you know, I got a cold. Could you pray? Well, I believe we can, but I think probably just go through the process. Amen. Get you some NyQuil or cough drops or whatever it is and eat healthy and go on your way. But for those conditions that are beyond our control, and we know what we're talking about here, those are the conditions that God implies that verse 2. And I think tonight that we understand together as God's people that divine healing is still available to the church. It's not available to me as an individual, but it is available to the church and to those that are in need. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you are raised up, you do still have a meeting with death. This is not eternal health. That's coming. Amen. But there is the potential for you to live a long life. Remember Hezekiah, the king who had that boil, and Isaiah came and said, set your house in order and you're getting ready to meet God. And he turned over to the wall and he wept and he prayed 10 or 12, 15, 16, 17 words to God. And God said, Isaiah, before Isaiah got out of the court, I just read it, Isaiah, go back up and tell him I heard. And Isaiah said something. He said, get a bunch of, my mind slips me now, some kind of leaves, I forgot what they were called. And what he said is, you put them leaves on that boil and God will heal you. And he did. And he got 15 more years. But at the end of that 15 years, he died. So this isn't eternal health we're talking about. All right? This isn't the fountain of youth. This is something that is an occurrence that happens from time to time that God allows the church to see his divine power. You say, well, what is the restrictions? All I know is if you're sick. If you're not sick, don't call. That's what it said, amen. If you're sick, call. If you're not, don't call. Just serve the Lord. But if you're sick, then you can call. Father, thank you for the day. Bless the time we have here tonight in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us to understand these principles of the healing process here. God, we're glad you're the great healer, the great physician. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we'll leave here knowing that we are able to come to you in times of need for healing. Now, God, I'm glad you heal all the soul's diseases. I'm glad, Lord, today that I'm saved as saved can be and on my way to heaven. Now, Lord, I pray if there's that time when it comes that somebody needs the divine help of God, that, God, you'll give us grace and faith to believe and to trust you and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. Until that time, God, help us to walk faithfully and serve you. Forgive us of sin, God, and cleanse us. And, God, help us to keep our hearts right, that sin be not the cause of the sickness. We pray for those of our church that are away from you today, backslid in heart. Lord, it fears our heart, fills our hearts with fear for the judgment that may come. And we pray because you said in your word that you chasten every son whom you love. So, Father, tonight we pray for grace. Help us all to walk circumspectly in these days in Christ's name. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Rachel's going to play the hymn of invitation. Maybe tonight, for whatever reason, you need to come to the altar. Be a blessing to come.